It's Early Edition with Tim Dower, thanks to OneRoof.co.nz, News Talk ZB.
It's 20 past five. Anybody who watches house prices in Wellington will realise there's something of a mismatch between demand for homes and supply. They're spiralling out of control. It's six or seven times your average income now if you want to buy a house. So the draft spatial plan attempts to address this and address the fact that over the next 30 years, Wellington will see an extra 80,000 people. There is opposition, though. Some don't want to see high-density housing or new subdivisions on the outskirts of Wellington. What to do? Well, the NZ Initiative economist Eric Crampton thinks there are answers to this. He's with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we talking about regional NIMBYism in terms of the reaction to this plan?
Yeah, and this has been in place for rather some time. So the town hall meeting in Kendall earlier this week on the spatial plan sounded an awful lot like the town hall meeting in Kendall 5 years ago on the plans that they were putting up then, looking to intensify one of these inner city neighborhoods. The folks in the leafy suburbs in the sort of inner city ring, just the first set of suburbs going out from downtown, have always rather opposed development and not really wanted to allow more intensity. But when everybody opposes any kind of intensification or more development that might happen near them, the result is house prices that are astronomical. So yeah, we haven't quite hit Auckland prices yet, but the city needs to be able to grow up downtown, and it needs to be able to grow out as well to be able to accommodate more people.
And this this really, I suppose, is any conurbation of any size in New Zealand is going to be up against this as our population grows.
Well, sure. And we've had these pernicious structures in place for some time where city councils really don't share in the benefits of growth. They bear all of the costs of it. Their rates go up a little bit when you've got more people here, and property values go up. They've got a bigger base to apportion the budget over, but they've got all of the infrastructure costs, and they have to deal with voter backlash. And that has meant that councils don't have much reason to push back against NIMBYs to allow more growth. So RMA processes require that there are these consultations of people who feel aggrieved. There is no particular way for councils to be able to make things better for them by taking some of the benefits that come from growth and reinvesting it in those communities, because central government gets most of those. Mm. And then we wind up in these spots where sort of environmental activists that hate the idea of building out try and block anything out and insist on it only being up and increased density. People who live in downtown spots or in the closer suburbs who see that blocking on out means that there'll be more pressure on them, and that upzoning their areas without allowing more out would mean their neighborhoods would change by even more, and that increases their opposition to any changes in their neighborhoods and councils having just little reason to push back. Now, fortunately, there have been some changes legislatively. The central government changed some of this. Some of the costs of growth facing councils have been taken off of them with Minister Twyford's revised infrastructure financing legislation. So there are ways to sheet the cost of infrastructure onto the folks who will be using it in greenfield sites rather than onto council's main balance sheets. And the NPS for urban planning requires that councils allow more density in places close to rapid transit.
Okay, coming to the nuts and bolts of this, though, it seems to me from reading the article you wrote for Newsroom that we are just going to have to accept that we can't have it both ways in that. We like to think that we've got, you know, something unique, something very cute and very pleasant around us, but if we want to go forward, then we're going to have to accept that has to change.
Well, we have to allow there to be more housing, right? So there's been a lot of pressure in Wellington, I guess some parts of Auckland as well, around character preservation and heritage homes. But what's been really encouraging this go around is the pushback from a lot of the tenants that are stuck in these character houses in Wellington that are moldy and drafty and rather horrible inside, They're difficult to renovate. They're difficult
that's,
to make
yeah.
earthquake
that, safe. That's the disconnect, isn't it? That it looks very yep. nice, and a visitor to Wellington, I've never lived there, I've visited, it thinks, wow, what a great place to live. But the reality is the housing's, well, stuffed. All right. Understand what you're getting at. Appreciate your time this morning, Dr. Crampton, the New Zealand Initiative, Eric Crampton. 25 after 5 now. Good morning.